You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thursday, August 1st. July is behind us. The long month of August now begins. And the best way to get through it and get closer to September when NBA training camps begin is to spend it with us right here on the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings. This is your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season, all off season, even during the driest months of the year for basketball. This is the place for you to get through it, all centered around your Sacramento Kings. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of the offseason, everything is right here for you. You made the absolute right decision if you call yourself a Kings fan. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. On today's show, another show dominated by an interview. You've heard him many times on the Locked On Kings podcast before. It's my friend Sean Cunningham from ABC 10. He joined me while in the car on the way to San Francisco 49ers training camp. So he was nice enough to take some time while he was driving, and we talk about a lot of stuff. We talk about the state of the NBA. We discussed in detail Team USA basketball and some Kings players getting an opportunity to play for Team USA and be involved in Team USA's training camp, and also the international players on the Kings, like Bogey and Nemanja Bjelica, who are also going to be playing or are getting an opportunity to play for Serbia. So we discussed that, the risk of injury and working your way through that, and really the benefits of playing for your international squad. And then we focus a lot on defense in this conversation that I'm going to be having with Sean. Why? Because there's an interesting tweet a couple of days ago from De'Aaron Fox, and it basically said this, and we're going to mention it more in the interview, but the tweet itself said, basketball is more than just offense. That's from De'Aaron Fox's Twitter account, and we've been discussing how defense is going to be important for this team to take that next step, and Luke Walton pointed that out in his introductory press conference. So Sean and I dive into that conversation specifically, and that's going to be the major chunk of this interview that I have with him. So be sure to listen to the whole thing. Again, it's going to dominate the podcast. We also discussed the free agency moves that the Kings made, a couple of really good feel-good stories and cool stories surrounding the Sacramento Kings, Luke Walton's new coaching staff. There's a lot that we get to in this podcast, so it's chock full of Kings and NBA basketball talk in August, just what you have asked for, so make sure you stick around and enjoy that. I'll be playing that for you here in just a second. Before that, though, support of Locked On Kings comes from Manscaped. They're the number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. You may have seen them on Shark Tank. Manscaping offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. That's 20% off at manscaped.com with the promo code LOCKEDON. Take advantage of that deal. Thank you to Manscaped for sponsoring the Locked On Kings podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network. No more wasting any time. My conversation with ABC 10's Sean Cunningham up next here on the Locked On Kings podcast. You've made it to August, everybody. August is here. My least favorite month out of the year. Football season is getting underway, and it's nice being able to get some NBA guys who sometimes work in other areas of sports, just like ABC 10's Sean Cunningham, who is in a car right now on his way to San Francisco 49ers training camp. Sean provides fantastic coverage of all of the greater Sacramento area, really Northern California sports. He was also in Oakland for the Golden State Warriors playoff games, the NBA Finals, and all that. If you're looking for just sports coverage in general in Northern California, but especially fantastic Sacramento Kings coverage, you can always get it from the ABC 10 team. That is Sean Cunningham, who's joining me right now. He's also in the car with Lena Washington. She is one of his colleagues at ABC 10. She also provides fantastic coverage as well. So both of them kind enough to take a couple minutes on their drive to spend with me here on Locked On Kings, and we have lots to to talk about as this NBA offseason rolls on. Sean, thank you so much for taking the time. Hope the travel is going well. Glad there's football, at least for you to do a little bit during this month of August, as we hopefully can speed up the process and get to October.
Oh, man, Lena Washington is, I'm in the safe hands of her. She drives like a bat out of hell. She's been great. She's become a California driver very, very quickly.
Quick lane changes and aggressiveness, I'm guessing?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sometimes digits of the finger are used, a certain finger are used to get by, but we do what we can, Matt.
Well, I'm not rooting for any kind of... I can hear her in the background. I'm not rooting for any kind of accident or anything like that, but I want you to know that if something happens, the recording is still being aired and it's still making the podcast. So I'm not rooting for it, but hey, just letting you know. But thank you again for taking the time. I really appreciate it. Has your summer been going well, making your way through? I know you've been doing you did an interview with Buddy Hield at his basketball camp. I saw you recently at the De'Aaron Fox basketball camp at Hardwood Palace. You're also doing the NFL coverage, but this offseason time, how do you weather your way through it? And are you like me? Is August the worst time of the year for you, or do you actually particularly like this month?
If you're talking about worst time of the year in terms of lack of basketball, I think it's tough because once the King, people who don't know, once the King season ends for us here at ABC 10, we jump on a lot of Warriors coverage because the NBA is on ABC. You know, it ends up, there's, unfortunately for Kings fans don't like to hear this, but our viewing area goes down toward the Bay Area, and there's just as many Warrior fans in our viewing area as there are Kings fans. And obviously with the bandwagon fans that have hopped on their success, you see a lot of people kind of taking notice of them. And even the casual NBA fan, I think even if you're not a fan of the Warriors, you kind of look at what they were able to do over these past 5 years and the runs to the finals, and you can at least appreciate good basketball when you see it. But when you go from that to draft workouts to the NBA draft and summer league and free agency, that gets you through July. And then what we have coming up starting Monday is USA Basketball in Vegas, and we'll be all over that. So August is kind of I would say more like the second week of August to really the last week of September is kind of like the finally the chill out mode. But I think a lot of people will start to pay attention to FIBA. And if you're a Kings fan, there's five players that have ties to international basketball play. Obviously, you've got the three with USA Basketball, with Harrison Barnes on the national team trying to make the 12-man roster, and then, of course, De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley on the select team that will help work out the men's national team and try to get in that pipeline to hopefully be where Harrison Barnes is one day. But also, someone like Corey Joseph is working out with the Canadian team, and he'll get ready for Canadian National Cup. And then you got two Serbs and Nemanja Bjelica and then Bogdan Bogdanovic. So you've got plenty of guys with international basketball that'll kind of occupy their summer. And then, training camp is right around the corner once September rolls around. So I think for me, outside of NFL training camp, and then, of course, you've got high school football, as you know, that starts up later this month. So there really is no dead period. There's a dead period for basketball for sure, for that lasts a few weeks, but we're definitely busy over here.
Where are you at in the debate about players playing in USA or international competition during the off season? I understand that injuries happen from time to time, and you can't explain it. You can't really stop it. They're going to happen no matter what. And it's always difficult when a player like, for example, Paul George a number of years ago had that catastrophic injury while he was playing for Team USA, and it had an effect on the Indiana Pacers and their regular season. So fans were upset and rightfully cautious about the entire situation. I know some Kings fans feel the same way about Harrison Barnes and Fox, and like you mentioned, Bogey playing overseas. We know Bogey has put a lot of wear and tear on those tires, even though he's so young. He spent so much time playing international basketball and NBA basketball that there's cause for maybe potential injury. Where are you at in that entire thing? Do you think the risk outweighs the reward?
No, I don't. I mean, I think especially with some of these international players, that's just what you sign up for. When you go after an international star, the chance for them to put their country first over the NBA, look, you're getting paid by the NBA, but to represent your country is an honor that many take very, very it's bigger than the person. You know, just think of somebody like Bogdanovic, and look at, even go further back with Vlade Divac and Peja Stojakovic when they won FIBA and beat the U.S. to win the World Cup. Look at just the attention and the celebration and what that meant to that nation, especially to beat the U.S., who was like the king of basketball at the time. That was so huge, and the honor is bigger than one person. So when you sign an international star like Bogdanovic, that kind of comes with it. You know where that's at. But to your point about guys managing their workload, like you mentioned with Paul George, and you see a lot of guys who are now not going to be part of FIBA this season and allow other people to kind of carry that torch, it'll be interesting to see who hops on again and reintroduces themselves to the national team once the Olympics roll around. I think what USA Basketball has done a tremendous job of, and we can use DeMarcus Cousins as an example to this when he was with the Kings. DeMarcus was with the select team, as was Willie Cauley-Stein, and Rudy Gay was over on the national team, and he was trying to make the 12-man roster. But DeMarcus went through that pipeline, hopped on the USA Basketball train, and actually made the Olympic team because of participating in FIBA when other guys like LeBron James were deciding to worry about their free agency. And obviously they had a huge workload throughout the season, as you know, with LeBron going to the consecutive finals appearances, the many that he had. It allowed for opportunity that way. And then what did Coach K and USA Basketball do? They reward those guys for stepping up, answering the call, also playing well, and he made it to the Olympic team that went to Rio. So there are certainly opportunities that exist, but I do think it's really upon what the player is and what the workload is like. No one's going to see Kawhi Leonard in USA Basketball. He's going to be managing that workload, but he manages it throughout the season as well. So when you start to see guys tend to trickle off, that's just kind of happens. They are where they are in their careers, and USA Basketball is meant for a pipeline of young players to one day carry that torch.
Sean, I'm glad that you and Lena were in Golden State covering the finals, because really you got to witness and cover what many are calling the end of the Warriors dynasty. Now, they still have Klay Thompson, still have Draymond Green, still have Steph Curry, so still have a lot of talent there, and they're dealing with the issues that they're dealing with. But the fact that they have now dropped a peg, or there's blood in the water is what I like to say. They're a little bit wounded, and how many teams in the Western Conference, but really around the NBA, have ratcheted things up and are now trying to jump on the weakness of the team that has really dominated the NBA over the last five or so years. I think it's phenomenal. I don't know if the NBA's been in a better place in terms of parity and balance in my lifetime. Do you agree with that? Are you a fan of where the NBA is at right now heading into next season?
I'm a fan of more balanced competition, absolutely. I think parity is good for the NBA. But certainly you still see the super team exist even in this offseason with what's going on with the. And like you said, Matt, with the Warriors that are kind of, they tapered off, they lost Kevin Durant, but oh, by the way, they add another all-star in D'Angelo Russell, and even with a injured Klay Thompson, they're still a formidable threat and are very capable of winning 45 to 50 games and getting into the playoffs. So who knows what that happens. I am a fan of it. I like more balanced competition. I like to see a lot of these look, you don't see a lot of super teams or teams that are going to be in the consideration for championships that are very young. So looking at, well, obviously what the Kings are doing and trying to, follow that mold or that model that Bob Myers and the Warriors have set out by having homegrown talent and push for a championship and cultivate that talent, it's still years off, right? Like, you still don't see those teams, those young teams make an impression. Now, maybe the one team that you can argue that was kind of that maybe bucked that trend a little bit was Milwaukee last year, and it'll be interesting to see what they do this year. But look, last year, even with those Warriors and LeBron in LA, you still had someone like the Toronto Raptors come in and shock, I think, what a lot of people didn't think that they could win the championship. So I am in favor of a more balanced league, but certainly those super teams still exist. And look at what Steve Kerr said. The guy who had his own super team is critical of what Anthony Davis is doing by, demanding a trade, getting the trade, and really finding where he wants to go and find that easy pathway to the Lakers.
And where are you at on that entire situation? Are you okay with what Anthony Davis did? Do you think it sets a bad precedent and more players, stars, are going to potentially start to follow suit?
Yeah, I don't like it. And let's not forget, Kawhi Leonard did it, right? Kawhi Leonard did it and found his way to Toronto. There's nothing in the rule book that says that the team has to trade you. I almost would respect the team, and this could be at their detriment, but I would have respected the team and said, okay, Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, we hear you. You don't want to be here. That's fine. You're in the prime of your career, and if you want to sit out a year and not play for this team or be a malcontent, then go ahead. And in Anthony Davis's case, it would have been 2 years, right? Because before he won't have free agency until after next season is done. So it would have been interesting to see how that played out. It's certainly not ideal, but it doesn't look like any team is wanting to do that yet. They've honored those requests by both those players. I don't like it, but it's certainly within their right. I kind of compare it to the NFL. At least the NBA has guaranteed contracts, so the player is protected. However, in the NFL, you don't have that right. So when players hold out, I'm 100% on the player's side.
Yeah.
They can say it's not honoring their contracts, but the team doesn't have to honor the contract. They can get rid of them at any time that they want and tell them to kick rocks. You can't do that in the NBA. So the only recourse a player has is to demand a trade. Whether it's honored or not remains to be seen. More times than not, it's honored, and they get to go where they go. That is a bad precedent to a degree, but it's certainly within their right.
Moving on back to Sacramento Kings conversation, Sean. De'Aaron Fox tweeted something out a couple of days ago that I thought was interesting and very telling. He tweeted out, basketball is more than just offense. And the reason why that caught my eye is around this time last summer, the Kings were looking for an identity. And we knew that Dave Yeager had said, and the Kings were looking to push the tempo, play fast, and establish the fast-paced offense is what they're known for. We weren't even worrying about defense. Now Luke Walton has taken over. And one of the things Luke Walton pointed out in his introductory press conference is that this team wants to focus on defense right out of the gate, particularly perimeter defense. So De'Aaron tweeting that out is both eye-opening to me and encouraging. Do you get the sense, do you get the idea that defense is going to be a significant focus for this team this year and that their opportunity or their chance on making the playoffs relies heavily on some significant improvement on the defensive end of the floor?
I don't know. I think that remains to be seen. I mean, I saw that tweet too, Matt, obviously it's a pretty – It's a statement that is obviously based in fact, but I also don't know what the context was there. I don't know if he was replying to something or if he saw something that irked him in any way. I don't even know that he was speaking anything in terms of what's going on in Sacramento necessarily. But yes, basketball, of course, is more than just offense. Offense is what gets it's the highlights on SportsCenter. It's what everyone gravitates to. But look, Detroit Pistons were one of those teams that won a championship solely based on defense. They were also a good offensive team too, but you get my point. And also the Warriors as well. The Warriors have been a tremendous defensive team for their 5-year run. So obviously defense is a part of it. I don't know that I look at this roster compared to last season and look at Coach Walton compared to Coach Yeager and say that the Kings are better off to be a much better defensive team. I think they'll be a much better defensive team on the perimeter solely based on just the evolution of their young players. Having another year of experience compared to the year before is certainly going to help. But, I mean, we've talked about it for ad nauseum for probably 3 or 4 years of how bad the Kings have been on the perimeter. And when the game is evolving out on the perimeter, defense at the perimeter is of most importance. And the Kings have really lacked in that area for quite some time. So I would hope that they'd be better. But I think a lot of that isn't because of additions that they've made in this offseason. I think a lot of it is just because of some of these young guys growing a little bit.
I thought De'Aaron Fox at times last season, particularly in the fourth quarter, was a phenomenal perimeter defender. One game that jumps to mind specifically is, I'm not sure if you remember, Sean, Mike Conley and the Grizzlies were torching the Kings, and Mike Conley had a 30-plus point game heading into the fourth quarter. He didn't score a single point in the fourth, and De'Aaron Fox absolutely manned him up. Kings ended up winning that game. So we've seen flashes of this team's ability. Is it Are you saying they need to learn more the ins and outs of defense? Is it more effort-based, experience-based? What area would you point to specifically as, like, that's the area that they need to really focus on or improve in order to become a good defensive squad?
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned De'Aaron, because I think that's a good – you point out that performance he had against Conley, and I would agree. But to play the contrarian, I'd also point out the performance he had against D'Angelo Russell, who tore up De'Aaron Fox.
Right.
De'Aaron Fox had nightmares of D'Angelo Russell from that game. So I think to your point, with your question about is it effort, is it experience, I think it's a little bit of both. And I would agree De'Aaron's a perfect example of that, because De'Aaron is a very willing defender, and he rises to the occasion and has that clutch gene in him that wants to, when the lights are shining the most, come to the high level and perform. However, we see moments like what happens with D'Angelo Russell, and sometimes De'Aaron has to get to that fourth quarter before he goes up a notch. He needs to have that more consistent feel. And look, he's going into his fourth NBA season, or right? Am I wrong? The fourth NBA season. Third. Sorry.
Fox is third.
Third. Excuse me. Seems these guys grow quick, right?
Right.
Third NBA season. So to critique a guy like this who's barely 21 years old is a little difficult, but it's part of that evolution in their growth in their game. But when you can point out guys where they rise to the occasion and other guys that tend to, you know, well, I can get through here and maybe get by on the least amount of effort, and I'll kind of go up a notch in the fourth quarter, I think that's just human nature, but I think it's both. I think it falls into experience, and it also falls into effort.
Based off the conversations that you've had with players, like I mentioned, you got the chance to speak with De'Aaron Fox at his basketball camp. You did a fantastic interview with Buddy Hield at his basketball camp, which you can go and check out right now on abc10.com. Are you getting the sense that these players are bought into playing for Luke Walton, Luke Walton's system? Luke Walton also mentioned taking a higher volume of three-point shots. Do you think that this group is ready and excited to play for Walton?
Yeah, they are, and that's no slight at what Dave Gager did. They're definitely looking forward to playing with Coach Walton. It's going to be a fresh start. It's going to be a change of pace a bit. But I think more than anything, it's the conversations that and the one-on-one time that they're having with Luke Walton. Now, the unfortunate part is us in the media, we have not been able to talk to Luke Walton on the record yet.
Yeah.
Because obviously he's still under investigation. The team's not making him available. And that is frustrating, because otherwise Luke Walton is still around this team, acting as if he is the head coach, which he is, and he will be, you know, he will be the head coach. But it's just time remains to where we can talk to him. However, what we hear from the players is the one-on-one time, the communication with the coaching staff, that all seems to be very, very positive. And every player is very, has very much taken a liking to that approach and having that kind of one-on-one time and having that kind of vision for what the future of the Kings could be and what the role for these guys could play. So I think everyone likes to pinpoint and circle that what Luke Walton said on his press conference when we last time we got to talk to him on the record, which was, we're going to shoot a lot of threes and we're definitely going to push the pace. That's all well and good. They pushed the pace last year. They've added pieces that obviously have a good efficiency from the perimeter, and they like, and guys that like Trevor Ariza and that like to shoot the ball. That's all gonna play to their strengths, and I think you can kind of see that blueprint for what they want to do next year. But yeah, and talking to Buddy and De'Aaron, as you did, those guys are all very, very high on the communication level and kind of the one-on-one time that they've had not only with Walton but his coaching staff as well.
Yeah, and you mentioned his coaching staff, and that was one of the areas of Dave Yeager's regime that I think was significantly underrated, maybe not by us who are around them every day and saw the players working out with them, but I thought Dave Yeager's coaching staff was phenomenal, and they are a major reason, if not the major reason, why this team has developed, these young players have developed so well. That being said, what are your thoughts? What do you like and maybe don't like about the coaching staff that Luke Walton and Vlade have put together with this new regime heading into next season?
Yeah, there's a lot of guys. I think with Yeager's staff, you had guys who were pretty familiar with. They had a lot of NBA experience, and I would agree with you. Yeah, I thought they deserve a lot of credit for the development of these young players that you have here in Sacramento. This staff that Luke has, I think, is a little bit of a wait and see. I love the interactions I've had with Jesse Mirmuth. I know that guys even like Doug Christie have talked highly about what he is as an assistant coach. I've talked to people around the league that love what Bob Beyer is, and Roy Ranna, who even though doesn't have a lot of NBA experience from a basketball teaching aspect, is very, very highly regarded, especially in international basketball and high school basketball, and all, he has ties to almost every level of competition. So, yeah, I think there's things to like, and of course, you've got great player development guys with great experience like Stacey Augmon and Bobby Jackson, who's the only holdover from last year. So that'll remain to be seen, though. I think chemistry has to be built. You have to see how guys take a liking and if they're, you know, willing to learn from certain guys and how different approaches are. I think one thing that you'll see automatically is maybe a little bit more sternness, maybe a little bit more if authoritative is the right word, but I think this staff might be a little bit more authoritative compared to what Jaeger and his staff was, because Jaeger's staff was very much a personal build relationship. A lot of his guys were very, very close to these guys. I think this might be a little bit more, not to say it won't be as personal, but I think it's going to be a little bit more businesslike and more of an expectation built out of you. And I think a lot of that just has to do with the evolution of the young guys. Going back to that, I think they had to love on the young guys and kind of build up their confidence. I think now that you're 3-4 years in for some of these guys, now it'll be more like nope, this is your job. This is what we expect of you. And the expectations, as De'Aaron Fox said at his camp last year, or this past couple weeks, is going to be that much more higher coming into this season. So a more business-like approach as opposed to that, maybe that rah-rah family kind of approach.
With the names in free agency that the Kings were rumored to be connected to, Al Horford, Tobias Harris at times, were you disappointed with the crop of players, the result of free agency for the Sacramento Kings, or do you fall on the optimism side of things along with me about really the focus was always going to be this young core and bringing in the right pieces to fit alongside and plug the holes alongside this young core, and based off the crop of talent that they brought in, maybe they overpaid for some of it, but for the most part, at least on paper, it seems like they addressed those issues.
I'll answer the question this way. I think, am I high on what they got? No, I think it's a pretty average crop of players they got. I think what's most optimistic, if you're a Kings fan, about these players they've added, is that they've added experience. They've added guys that compete. The two things that stick out to me: one, all these guys that they've added short contracts. Manageable contracts for the future. You're not sacrificing your future. While I think a lot of fans would have loved to have seen that long-term contract with someone like Tobias Harris, or even like you mentioned with Al Horford, there's a lot of big money and long years that go along with that. These are short in term, and that's a positive for the Kings going forward. I don't think they got any earth-shattering names, but I do think they made Harrison Barnes a priority, and they accomplished that. That's a guy who comes over, and they were able to retain him, and I think that's a positive for Kings fans. The other pieces that they've got that they received, they come in and they obviously address a need. I think people had been critical of Willie Cauley-Stein, but I'm not so sure that Dwayne Dedmon is a better fit than Willie Cauley-Stein. Certainly, someone asked me the other day when I was in Vegas for Summer League, am I expecting Dwayne Dedmon to come in and be a double-double guy, a 10-10, 11-11 type player with Sacramento? And I said, no. And they looked at me funny and said, why not? I said, well, because he didn't do that in Atlanta, and he's 28 years old. He's 3 years older than Willie Cauley-Stein, who had his best year as an NBA professional, and Willie Cauley-Stein wasn't that. Dwayne Dedmon has never been that guy. Dwayne Dedmon's been a guy that has solely gotten by on a lot of effort and energy. So to say that I'm expecting those type of numbers from Dwayne Dedmon, I don't think is fair. Mm-hmm. I think Dwayne Dedmon's his own player. He stretches the floor. He's going to be different than Willie Cauley-Stein. It'll look different for sure, but I don't know that it's better. So one of the things is, I think the way this team is getting better is based off of, again, the evolution of those young players, getting more experience and having those expectations. I don't know that they went out and got a free agent outside of Harrison Barnes that's going to make them really better I do love the addition of Trevor Ariza. I know he's a 16-year-old NBA vet, but I love the fact that the Kings had been needing a guy at the small forward and for so long, and then all of a sudden in one offseason, they retain Harrison Barnes and add Trevor Ariza. I think that's a fantastic 1-2 punch of two guys that are versatile and can play multiple positions, but also kind of bolster down that three spot.
Final thing for you, Sean. You've spent a lot of time covering Northern California, Sacramento sports, and that includes high school sports, and in particular, high school basketball. If there's high school basketball stories, you are all over it here. And a cool story that is happening right now with the Kings is Isaiah Pinero, who was invited to be on the Kings Summer League team, and we got to see him play in the Golden One Center at the California Classic, and then the Kings just recently signed him to a professional contract. So congratulations to him. His hometown is in Auburn, California, about half an hour, 45-minute drive away from Sacramento. Went to Placer Union High School, which is their juggernaut for a football school. But a local kid getting his dream coming true now, playing for his hometown team. Don't know how much opportunity he's going to get with the main roster, probably a lot of time with the G League. But the fact that he's signed that contract, a great story, a cool story. What can you tell me just about him and his journey to get to this point?
Well, certainly. I mean, when he was at Placer, I remember talking to him right around California Classic, and in no way, shape, or form did he ever think he'd be an NBA player. So to see that dream come true, I don't care what team you're a fan of, that's just really cool to see. I mean, especially for a guy who went down to San Diego. So, yeah, I'm not expecting to see him with the big club. I think, obviously, what will happen is he's on an Exhibit 10 contract, so he'll be in training camp. He'll be cut at one point, and he'll kind of get immersed with G League Stockton and what's going on down there. So that'll be positive. That's great. That's a great start for him and a way for him to kind of not only get that NBA experience, but really kind of find a niche and kind of a role and see if he's somebody that can adjust to maybe a two-way player down the road. I think it's fantastic. He's a great story. He was certainly a bright spot in summer league. He was a guy, Matt, that was really just there for practice purposes and hopefully to catch an eye for another team. And he ended up catching the eye of the Kings, and it had a lot to do. He wasn't going to be a rotational player in most of these games. And to the Kings' credit, and they had a fantastic. I mean, look, they didn't win the summer league championship, and that's fine. And you look at their record, you might be a little disappointed in what they had, but their team was actually brilliantly put together. They had a lot of guys that compete. They have a lot of guys that you'll probably see on the Stockton team. But one of the things I really enjoyed about this team was their competitive nature. They were deep. They had a chemistry to them. And Pinero, for a guy that wasn't in there rotationally, their margin of victory of their love defeat was so close. They were in every single game. It came down to the wire, and Pinero was a big part of that. But he also had games where maybe they weren't going to play him, and all of a sudden he comes in the third quarter and provides that spark. That's what you want to see, and that's how you catch the eyes of scouts throughout the league. And it just so happened that he was able to catch the eye of the Kings, and yeah, it's a hometown feel-good story. He wasn't a blue chip prospect in high school. He had to go to San Diego, and it's not a powerhouse for basketball. It's a great story for him, and I'm looking forward to not only for him to get that opportunity, but also see what can develop in the G League.
Well, he has a lot of fans in Sacramento, rightfully so, and he's going to be a fun guy to keep tabs on, even if he does get cut during training camp and head down to the G League. Wherever he goes, it's going to be fun to follow. Always easy to root for hometown talent, and the more we can get in the NBA, the better, certainly. Sean, thank you so much for taking the time on your drive. Thank you, Lena, for driving and allowing him to take the time to get on the phone and jump on the Locked On Kings podcast. I always appreciate chatting with you, my friend.
She's bored to tears, so we need to crank up the music and the air conditioner. She's falling asleep.
Fantastic. Well, go back to that. Best of luck wherever you're driving. Best of luck covering the 49ers and the Raiders over the next couple of months, and then we will, of course, see you back in Sacramento for the Kings training camp and preseason and regular season coverage beginning end of September heading into October, my man.
You got it. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate you.
Always a pleasure to talk to Sean. Follow him on Twitter at Sean Cunningham for great coverage of the Sacramento Kings and all Northern California sports. And then why don't you follow Lena as well? If you don't already, Lena is fantastic. She's such a sweetheart, an amazing person, an amazing broadcaster, a brilliant basketball mind as well. I'm actually going to have her on the podcast very, very shortly as well. She's at every single Kings game along with Sean and myself. She provides fantastic coverage. She's on Twitter at L Washington TV. So follow her as well for excellent King coverage. And you know what? We'll have her on the Locked On Kings podcast in the very near future. So big thank you to Sean. Big thank you to Lena for coming on the Locked On Kings today. And big thank you to all of you for listening to Locked On Kings today and this week. No podcast on Friday, tomorrow. We will be back next week. Be sure to check out KHDK.com right now for the article that I wrote, which is going in depth and really breaking down if the 2019-2020 season is playoffs or bust for the Sacramento Kings, how important making the playoffs is to this Kings team and how much time is really on their side. That's on KHDK.com right now for you to check out. I'll also be tweeting that out very, very shortly. You can find that on my Twitter account, at MattGeorgeKHDK. That's also where you can interact with me, ask me questions, get into conversations with me about the Kings, about basketball, or sports in general. Please do that. You can also reach me via email, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. Have yourself a safe, fun, and exciting weekend. We'll be back next week, and I have a special interview in the works for you. Hopefully I can lock it down. I don't want to say the name promise it right now if in case it falls through, but I'm really working hard on it and I think you'll really enjoy it. So hopefully I will get that for you next week. Regardless, we'll have more great content here on Locked On Kings next week and in the future weeks, getting you through August and into September. Until next time, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.